Yesterday I was supposed to preach a charge at ordination service, and we didn't go. It was down in Clarksville, Tennessee, but received a blessing. I called Brother Garner Smith and Sean Trescott, the ones that Brother Trescott was one ordained, just to ask them how it went. For the last several years, I've expressed my concern to, well, just about all the preachers that I know about the direction of ordination services the last several years. And Brother Smith told me yesterday, he said that he stood up before the church and he said he did not want any stone left unturned in the questioning. And everybody said it was one of the best ordinations they've ever been to, other than Sean, because he felt he was. But I'm thankful, because I do believe that we were headed in a wrong direction in ordination services. But we thank the Lord. I'd like today to turn to Psalm 23. Certainly everyone knows this by heart. You probably don't even need to turn there. We're just going to read the first verse. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have to remember that this psalm, just like all the psalms, are songs. They were written to be sung in the worship of the Lord. David, of course, was the author of this psalm. And David himself was a shepherd. He knew all about shepherding sheep. He was also the son of a shepherd. So he knew from firsthand experience about shepherds. He knew from firsthand experience about sheep. The psalm is made up of six verses, and we're not going to look at the psalm in whole today, just concentrate on this first verse. But the psalm itself is made up of six verses. In those six verses, we are allowed to listen. As one of the Lord's children lifts his heart in song to honor the Lord that he so dearly loves. As you read the psalm, you see it is a song of personal trust. It is a song about a personal relationship with the Lord. It is a song about personal confidence in the Lord. A psalm of personal experience with the Lord. A song of faith. A song of hope. A song of joy. The psalm is written, I believe, and was always sung from a heart full of love. And the whole theme of the psalm is stated in those first words. The Lord, that is Jehovah, is my shepherd. I shall not want, or that's all I need, is what the psalmist is saying. He writes these words with a heart full of praise, and no doubt later these words were sung with hearts full of praise, with hearts full of reverence and gratitude, hearts overcome with wonder, hearts overcome with amazement. When David wrote these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he believed it. He believed what he wrote. That is, it was true to him. The Lord is my shepherd. It was genuine to him. It was very real to him. Almost everybody has heard those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But there aren't many who those words are true to them. Those words are genuine and real to them. He believed it. That is, David knew that it was true, that it was genuine, that it was real. The Lord is my shepherd. He was persuaded of it. He was fully convinced of it. He was fully assured of it. It was something that he relied upon. It was something that he depended upon. The Lord is my shepherd. In this first verse, the psalmist states three wonderful truths. The first one is, the Lord is. The second great truth is, the Lord is my shepherd. And the third great truth is, I shall not want. And anyone who knows those three things has been truly blessed of the Lord. Anyone who knows those three truths will live their life differently than all the rest of the world. Anyone who knows those truths will view things differently than all the rest of the world. And I pray today that we as God's people can identify personally with those words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I pray that we have personally experienced those words. And that with hearts full of love, with hearts full of praise and reverence and gratitude, that we can lift up our voices and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But notice the very first truth that we have here. The very first three words, the Lord is. The Lord is. Jehovah, the great I am, the always the same, the eternal, changeless God of creation, the eternal, changeless God of salvation, the God of eternity, the one and only God is. That's a wonderful truth. The Lord is. And all of God's people need to acknowledge the Lord is. The Lord is. All the world needs to acknowledge. The Lord is. These are words that declare the very existence of God. Those words, the Lord is, have dried, I guarantee you, many a tear. And has filled many a heart with joy. And has filled many a heart with courage and strength. The Lord is. Those are great words of encouragement. The Lord is. In all of our circumstances, whatever condition we find ourselves in whatever place we find ourselves in, every single moment of every single day, the Lord is. That never changes. There is nothing that can change that. The Lord is. The Lord is the immortal one. The Lord is the Almighty One. The Lord is the Almighty One. The Lord is always everywhere present. He is, no matter what. The Lord is. The Lord is the true One. The Lord is good. No matter what happens in our lives, when you walk away from the cemetery and you have buried the dearest one to you in this life, the Lord is good. If your loved ones die lost, the Lord is good. Nothing changes that. God is good. The Lord is. The Lord is good. The Lord is love. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is great. And it is important that we never, ever lose sight of the Lord is. Never lose sight of who He is. When He's pouring, when we think that He's pouring His blessings upon us and filling our hearts with joy, the Lord is. We need to remember that. When everything is going our way, the Lord is. At the same time, when we are surrounded by enemies and when we're surrounded by difficulties and when our heart is overwhelmed, the Lord is. The Lord is. So we need to always remember the Lord is. When you're in the very midst of trouble, when you're in the very midst of affliction, the Lord is. When your heart aches, when sorrow fills your soul, you can, the child of God can always lift up their heart and sing, the Lord is. The Lord is. So these first three words of this psalm are a tremendous blessing. No matter what the time, no matter what the place, God is. In Ezekiel 11, verse 16, and we've preached from this phrase a couple of times, and it's one that it, to me, is one of the most comforting phrases in all the Word of God. But in Ezekiel 11 and verse 16, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off from among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. This is, of course, talking about captivity. But the words that just, to me, just jump off the page is, although, yet will I be. Although, yet will I be. No matter what happens, yet will I be, God says. And that's just another way of saying, the Lord is. The Lord is. No matter what happens, yet will I be. God will always be. He will always be whatever He was. And He is and He will be what He's always been. The Lord is. As sons and daughters of God, we have the wonderful assurance, we have the confidence that God is. And when David penned these words, the Lord is, he believed it. He believed those words. We may find ourselves, and we all have from time to time, we'll find ourselves in difficulty. We'll find ourselves in trouble. We'll find ourselves in the midst of disappointment. We'll find ourselves in the midst of sorrow. We'll find ourselves in the midst of loneliness. We may be in the very midst of a raging storm. But every son and daughter of God can know the Lord is. God is. And those are very encouraging words. No matter what happens, it has no effect upon who God is. So when David said the Lord is, that was real to him. How real is it to you today? The Lord is. How real is that? How genuine is that in your life today? The Lord is. How true is that in your life today? How persuaded and how sure are you today that the Lord is? And I pray that each one of us know those words to be real, know those words to be genuine and true. David goes on, brings us to our second truth. The Lord is my shepherd. He does not say, though it would have been true, he does not say the Lord is a shepherd. Certainly he is. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He does not say the Lord is our shepherd, though that is true. The Lord is our shepherd. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. So it was a personal psalm. He does not say the Lord was my shepherd. He does not say the Lord shall be my shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. There's never a time when he's not. The Lord is my shepherd. He does not say I hope that the Lord is my shepherd. He does not say I think that the Lord is my shepherd. He says with great conviction, the Lord is my shepherd. He said that with great assurance, absolute certainty. In the personal possessive pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's saying that with a heart full of love, a heart full of gratitude and wonder. It's just another way of saying it is, my shepherd is the Lord. My shepherd is the Lord who is. It's not my shepherd is the Lord who was. It's my shepherd is the Lord who is. So every child of God can lift up their voice with David and say, the Lord who is my shepherd. My shepherd is the Lord. That is the Lord who is immortal. The Lord who is almighty, the Lord who is all-knowing, the Lord who is the Most High, the Lord who is perfect, He's holy, He's true, He's all-knowing, He's merciful, He's gracious, He's long-suffering. That Lord is my shepherd. And every son and daughter of God ought to know the meaning of those words. The Lord is my shepherd. So David, though he was a shepherd, takes the place of a sheep. That's what he has done in this 23rd verse, or 23rd Psalm. A shepherd is taking the place of a sheep. Now sheep are the property of someone else. And David realizes that he is the absolute property of God. He is owned by God. I don't mind being owned, not by God. It all depends who your owner is. People say, oh, you believe you're just a puppet on the string. I don't mind that at all if God's the one pulling the strings. That doesn't bother me. I thank God. David realized that he was the property of the Lord. He took the place of the sheep. Now sheep, for lack of a better word, are dumb. They're just plain stupid. And David takes the place of the sheep. Sheep are dirty. And David takes the place of the sheep. Sheep are very timid. Very easily frightened. There's no wonder that God compares you and I to sheep. It's almost the perfect analogy. Sheep are helpless. By themselves, they are basically helpless. Sheep are always getting lost. They're always getting lost. And sheep are easily and how often you and I, as God's people, we're always getting lost. I'm not talking about lost where we need to be saved again. It's not what I'm talking about. but we lose our sense of direction. It's because we have the nature of sheep. But sheep also have very self-destructive habits. They will follow the same ruts to their own destruction. They are self-destructive. And so are we, without a shepherd. Sheep have little sense of direction. And if they do get lost, which they do often, they can't find their way back. The shepherd goes to get them. Sheep are easily disturbed or easily frightened. It doesn't take much to disturb you and I as children of God. It doesn't take much to frighten us as children of God. Most of God's children today are already frightened half to death about November's election. I mean, we are. I'll be honest with you, I am. Sheep are easily frightened. Sheep are prone to disease. But sheep left to themselves will end up bones somewhere. They're not going to survive. You cannot just leave a sheep. Now, David knew all that because he was a shepherd. And when he writes this 23rd Psalm, he doesn't take the place of the shepherd. He takes the place of the sheep. And then with great praise and great gratitude, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, a sheep's welfare depended entirely upon who the shepherd was. Like anything else, there were good shepherds, there were bad shepherds. There were shepherds and there were hirelings. But David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." There is no better shepherd than the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, personally and perpetually. The Lord is my shepherd. Whatever my position, whatever my condition, He is my shepherd. And that means that I am always under the watchful care of the shepherd. Always. That's true of every single one of us. Everywhere and always, He watches over us as a shepherd. He cares for us as a shepherd. He protects us. He provides for us. He preserves us. When we're up on the mountaintop, the Lord is my shepherd. When we're down in the valley, the Lord is my shepherd. When we're in the wilderness and we don't know which way to turn, the Lord is my shepherd. When we're in dire straits, the Lord is my shepherd. When we feel hopeless and when we feel faint, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, there's never a situation when that's not true of you and I as children of God. When we're in danger, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, read it over and over and over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd. Meditate upon it. The Lord is my shepherd. Go to bed at night. The Lord is my shepherd. Get up in the morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Go through the day. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to meditate upon it. We need to realize it, that it's true, it's real, it's genuine. The Lord is my shepherd. Realize it. Draw from it. Oh, and there's much to draw from there. The Lord is my shepherd. Rejoice in it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. As such, just like a shepherd, He always makes a way. He always makes a way. Oh, how often. Because our faith is weak, because our faith is small, we begin to think, oh, there's no way out of this one. God always makes a way. God always has a way. The truth of the matter is, it's not for you and I to make the way. He's already made the way. He's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and as such, He makes a way. He's able to make a way, and He does. He removes obstacles, or He can make a way through the obstacles. It doesn't matter to Him. He's a shepherd. It's not for me, it's not for you and I to remove the obstacles. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We just need to stand still and look. For the God-provided way, because it's there. It always is. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and as such I have His guidance. No matter where I'm at, I have the guidance of the shepherd. And we need to just stop, take a deep breath, and stand still and listen to that small, still voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." The Lord is my shepherd. We read in the last phrase of Psalm 78 and verse 72 that the children of Israel were that He guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. Think about that, the skillfulness. Anybody have greater skill than God? The skillfulness of His hands. And my shepherd is skillful. And He guides us by the skillfulness of His hands. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And therefore we never lack the guidance of the Lord. He can and He does lead His children. And He provides around the clock protection. If that were not so, we would have already been a bag of bones somewhere. We would not have survived up to this point because we are sheep. We are sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and as such, He miraculously sustains us. We see this all through the 23rd Psalm. In Psalm 73, it's referred to as a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And if you ever notice, the Lord is our shepherd doesn't just provide us with drops. He provides us with rivers and torrents. The Lord is our shepherd, and He miraculously provides and sustains our needs. The Lord is our shepherd, and as such, He is always present with us. Again, in Psalm 73, we read Psalm 78, the Most High, in the wilderness. He's always there. He's always in the wilderness. The Lord is my shepherd. That means I am never alone. Never. Never am I alone. Oh, it may feel that way at times. But if we know this great truth, the Lord is my shepherd, we know also, in spite of our feelings, we are never alone. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to see Him. We need to be able to see Him as our shepherd. We need to be able to feel Him as our shepherd. I like to feel the Lord's presence. We need to see Him. We need to feel Him as our shepherd. We need to acknowledge Him as our shepherd. We need to lean upon Him as our shepherd. We need to trust in Him as our shepherd. Draw from Him as our shepherd. Follow Him as our shepherd. And then perhaps the best part of all, the Lord is our shepherd. And we see this in the 23rd Psalm in verse 5. And as such, He prepares a table for me. He always does. He always does. And I love that word, thou preparest. Thou preparest. This isn't something just thrown together. thou preparest. The Lord prepares a table. Just like you women would prepare a table, and you do so with thought. When the Lord prepares a table for me, it is with thought. It is with thought exactly what I need at that moment, and the Lord prepares that table. The Lord may prepare one table for you. He may prepare another table for me. He prepares a table for each and every one of us. And on that table is everything I need at that very moment. It's all right there. And He has prepared it with great thought. He has prepared it with great wisdom. He has prepared it with great love. And He has prepared it with great care. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter where we are, God can prepare a table. Doesn't matter where we are, God has prepared a table. The Lord is our shepherd. At that table is the product. It is the product of the shepherd. It is the product of the one who loves us. It is the product of the one who loves us with an indescribable, indefinable love. And He prepares a table before us. This table is the product of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, and there is always a God-prepared table near at hand. Upon that table, I will find refreshment. I will find strength. I will find comfort. I will find peace. I will find assurance. I will find everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. That brings us to the last point. I shall not want. That word want means lack. I shall not lack. That does not mean that we will never experience lack. That does not mean that we will never experience need. But it does mean, since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be deficient. I shall never lack proper care. Improper management. That's what it means. Because God's people have gone hungry. God's people have gone naked. So we know it doesn't mean that. But God's people have never lacked proper care and proper management. Because the Lord is our shepherd. What this means is, we can be content in the shepherd's care. What this means is that He is sufficient. He is sufficient. When food ceases, or when the purse or the wallet is empty, and when toil comes, and when the wolf comes, and when old age comes, and when feebleness comes, and when the storms come, and when the rains come, and when the floods come, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall never lack proper care and management. That's what it means. And that was real to David. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he believed that. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Is that real to you today? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never, ever lack proper care and management. No matter what happens in the election or tomorrow or later on today, we will never, ever lack proper management and care. Never. His riches are unsearchable. His power is unlimited. His faithfulness is unfailing. His word is unshakable. His love is unchanging. His peace passes understanding. And it is as David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need. That's what he said. That's all I need. And that is true. So the Lord, the omniscient God, the omniscient God who knows his sheep. The Lord knows every single thing about every single one of us. He knows his sheep. He knows their needs. He knows the weaknesses of each sheep. He knows the strengths of each sheep. He knows the situation. He knows the circumstances of each sheep. He knows exactly what needs to be done for each sheep. What needs to be done for me right now or what needs to be done for you right now may be two entirely different things. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly what needs to be done. We can rejoice every single day if we can say with confidence and assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad I can get up every single morning and know the Lord is my shepherd. Do I think of that every single morning? No. I wish I did, but I don't. Do I go through every day thinking the Lord is my shepherd? No. I wish I did. I wish I could tell you I did that. But I don't. But I tell you, it rejoices my heart every time I think, the Lord is my shepherd. That rejoices my heart. And I pray that I can think about that more. The Lord is my shepherd. Knowing that, we can go from here praising and thanking God for being our shepherd. We can't imagine where we would be, what we would be if he wasn't. The Lord is my shepherd. So if you're saved, are you living in the reality of what David said here? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. We have a wonderful shepherd. Never let us forget, we're just sheep. That's all we are. And as sheep, we all need the care of the shepherd. As sheep, we all need the guidance of the shepherd. And I thank God that I have the best shepherd that there is. The Lord is my shepherd. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.